And I've been spending time with the Lord, and I was reading in 2 Kings. I want you all to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings. I discovered some fascinating stuff. If I can find it here. Hold on. Here we go. If y'all could see my Bible right now, you would say, uh-huh. You would know. All right, now, let me look at my notes and see. Okay, I just want to remind everybody that's listening that I do have an interview tonight with a lady named Diana Ketterman. She is a mental health, faith-based mental health lady, and she has been exposing Zionism and the Noahide Law. So we're going to see her perspective of all this stuff. So we will see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Now, I am going to have the chat off just because of the nature of the content that we will be discussing, okay, for your protection. But I would like for everybody, you know, to still watch it, okay? I guess that's it as far as my announcements. We have a lot of rain here on the farm, and we've had a lot of rain over the past few days, actually. But it's not too bad. It's like in the 40s, you know, pretty doable. So I guess that's about it. All right. So if you'll turn your Bible to 2 Kings, let's pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today through your word. We thank you. This is the truth. This is the truth. And this is the truth that we trust. So we thank you, Lord, that our eyes are beholding you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Uzziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. Okay, now let's look this up real quick. Okay, let's see who Ahaz was. A-H-A-Z-I-H. I want to say a king of Judah was the sixth king of Judah. Okay, that's what I thought. And the son of Jehoram and Athaliah, the daughter of the king Ahab of Israel. Okay. Here we go. He is the first Judah. He's from the tribe of Judah. King to be descended from the house of David. All right. So now we know who this guy is. So he fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Uh-oh, that is a danger point. We know who Beelzebub is, don't we? Yes, 2 Kings chapter 1. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, what is so cool about this? This is the kind of God we serve. This king didn't get by with nothing, did he? God was right on it, boy, with his prophet. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, you shall not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, but shall surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him and said unto them, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said to him, there come a man up to meet us and said unto us, go, turn again to the king that sent you. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you send to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, this is the king reply to these messengers that come back and said what the word of the Lord was. His reply back was, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, well, he was a hairy man. I thought that was funny. He was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king said unto him, a captain sent unto him, a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill. And he spoke unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And sure enough, there came a fire, come down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Wow. Oh, God backed up old Elijah, didn't he? So again, he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. This is the king. His first set of men got killed. So he's brave enough to send another set. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50 twice. The king sent another captain of the third 50 with his 50. He wasn't going to give up, was he? And the third captain of 50 went up. Now, he used a different approach. He came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said to him, O man of God, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in your sight. Behold, there came down fire from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life be precious in your sight. And the angel of the Lord come to Elijah. Go down with him. Be not afraid of him. Isn't that funny that God sent an angel right there to tell Elijah what to do? Wouldn't we all love that? Lord, please send us an angel to talk to us like you did Elijah, Lord. And he arose, this is Elijah, he rose up and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which you are gone up, but shall surely die. Now, this is the key point of it all right here. Remember Jesse, when he talked about hell and those people that was in hell and they felt like they shouldn't be in hell. Something's wrong. Something's off. I shouldn't be here. Remember, they was all saying this. What was the answer of Jesus? Sir, the judgment has been spoken. This is a dangerous thing, Brad. Because when Elijah come back to that king, he didn't back off not one iota of his God. He did not back off what God said, did he? No, he did not, and neither can we. Remember me telling you guys, don't be apologizing to people because God has brought judgment. Don't be apologizing to people because of your position to honor God with your temple and not allow the beast in. Don't apologize. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. Just like Elijah, when he went back, he said it as it was. Yes, he did. He affirmed, remember we talked about that word affirm, he came in agreement with God. So now the judgment has been spoken against this king. Three confirmations to the king. Three. First confirmation was when his first 50 got killed. Second confirmation was when the second 50 got killed. The third confirmation, he got killed. So he died, verse 17, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead. In the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the Acts of Ahiah, whatever. Okay, now, let's go to chapter 2. I'm not finished. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, sir, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were with Bethel, that were at Bethel, came forth to Elijah and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? Okay, what that tells us is this right here. Those prophets knew, didn't they? That was a confirmation to Elisha that God was about to take his master. See, Elisha was the servant of Elijah. He served him. This is what I'm trying to tell you guys about a servant's heart. If you want to be in ministry, the first thing you got to learn in ministry is how to be a servant. You'll never be a good leader until you learn to be a great follower, a servant. And that's what Elisha was. Elijah was his mentor. So these prophets come up to Elisha and says, don't you know that he speaks? Isn't that amazing that God told all them prophets that Elijah was leaving them today? God always warns his people, don't he? And that's what I believe for all of us, that we're in the hour that God is going to lead us, like he already has. He's already been giving us instructions. Get out of the metaverse. Do this, you know. He's aligning everything up. And that's what he did. So he gave Elisha a confirmation, because look what they say here. Knowest thou that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? So here's his reply. Yes, I do know it. So be quiet. He told them, hold their peace. In other words, don't speak of this. And Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. See, he's a sent one, okay? And he said, this is Elisha replying to Elijah, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha. So here's the second confirmation. Boy, we are getting some jewels today, ain't we, about confirmations? And said unto him, know thou that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? See, that's two confirmations Elisha has had, that Elijah is fixing to leave him. And he answered, yes, I know, but hold your peace. And Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray here, pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Now we're at our third location, okay? And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. So now they're going to Jordan. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, uh-oh, now we have a third confirmation. And stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. These 50 didn't even have to say anything, but their presence at this epic moment of time was a confirmation that they knew that a miracle was about to happen before their eyes. Isn't this amazing? This is such an amazing story. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters just like Moses did with his mantle was the rod. And they were divided here and there so that they too went over on dry ground. Isn't that beautiful? And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha. Now, let me just pause here before we go any further. That mantle that he cast down, he said he wrapped it together, which I took was kind of like a robe, and smote the waters. Okay. It's not that that cloth, that mantle, that it had power. It's that it was in obedience. Obedience is where the miracles are. Remember the story of Peter when he was in prison. The angel showed up. It was God's will that Peter be released out of that prison. Everything in matter has to obey. So the chains fell off of their own. Peter gets up and walks out of this prison. The gate opens of its own. The gate obeys. Everything in the atmosphere has to obey to the will of God, you see. So in this case, with Elijah and his mantle, when the will of God was for them to get to the other side, for Elijah to be taken up in a whirlwind, the waters have to obey. The waters, when that point of contact from Elijah to the water hit, the water obeyed and stood straight up. Can you imagine the vision of how it was with Moses when he used the rod? In obedience to God's will, the water stood up in attention. The ground dries up and makes way for the king, basically. That's the same here with the mantle. So, and it came to pass, verse 9, in 2 Kings chapter 2, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from thee? Wow, what a question. Whew, we could ponder on that for a while. We could really chew on that piece of meat. What can I do for you, son? You have been my mentee. You have been by my side. You have been a faithful servant to me. What can I do for you? Can you imagine the moment of Elisha looking at him, knowing, you're really fixing to leave me. We've been through so much together, you know. We've seen many miracles. And now you're really fixing to go to our God that we serve. You're really about to leave me, Elijah. Imagine the thoughts he had running through his head. But here was Elisha's reply. He said, I pray thee. He was always very humble with Elijah, wasn't he? Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. A double portion. And he answered, which is Elijah, answered back to him, you have asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be unto you. But if not, it won't be. So it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. I think about my dream with all them horses and chariots. I just got to reflect on this a minute. Because remember when I had the dream was back in 2014 and I was homeless and abandoned by my family and society and my church and everything. So I was a very lonely, depressed state. Not really depressed, but, you know, rejected state. There you go. And so I have this dream of these, you know, me being laid in the desert, and I was so dehydrated and wore out from battle that I was just done. You ever been there? You ever been just done? That's where I was at. And I'm laying on the ground just dying, and I hear a rumble in my spirit, and I feel the ground shaking. And I'm like, what is all this commotion? So I look up, and I see all these horses and chariots running towards me. They were as far as I could see. Oh, they were so beautiful and massive. And when they stormed into me, they slid in. I made a good visual about this. But they slid in and they formed a semicircle around me. And I looked up and I saw a horse. This horse was weird looking. I mean, it looked like a horse. But it looked human as far as it was like a work horse. It was like I'm here in obedience to God, and he was just still. And he was very muscly, very strong, beautiful, muscly. Then there was a chariot. Then inside the chariot, now the chariots were made of gold. Inside the chariot was this man that had on this armor that was gold, and he had a bow and arrow, a spear and a bow and arrow. And I'm thinking, and they both just looked at me like I'm here on a mission. So I looked and they were all around me, and then right in the middle was the big one. This was Jesus in the middle. And he had beautiful white horses. I mean, they were, I can't even explain the white. Iridescent is the best way, I guess. Sparkling, beautiful, massive, strong horses. Beautiful manes, you know, if you've ever loved horses. But his chariot was massive. I mean, it was like, you know, 20 stories tall. I mean, it was just huge. So all I could see was the light of his face. But when he got off that chariot and he walked towards me. Remember, I told you I was down on the ground. You know, I was fat. I was wore out. I was, my lips all chapped. I was done, dehydrated, beat up from battle. You know, so I'm laying on the ground dying. But as he walked towards me, his presence was healing everything within me. It was like I was going, you know, because he was like, my cells were being restored by just his presence. I was coming back to life. And he walked over towards me and he reached down and he grabbed my hand. And when he grabbed my hand, electricity is the only way I can describe it, but electricity ran through my body. And it was like every cell within me was reacting to his glory. My cells were being restored. My skin was becoming youthful. My body went skinny because he rode me up. He rose me up and he goes, "Rise up, my daughter. You were born for such a time as this." And he said, and so as I was standing up, my body changed. I went from wore out to fulfilled. My cells were healed. I was strong, youthful, and young. And I stood up and my hair went into a poof, like, you know, a queen. And this tiara fell from heaven and rested on my head. And I looked out and all I could see was horses and chariots. I mean, like millions of them. And in each chariot had a, I don't even know how to describe it, a barrel. There you go, barrels of oil. And so I asked Jesus, "What do I need with all this oil?" And he said, "Help my people." And he went, and he was gone. So I'm standing there with all these soldiers with this army. I don't know what to do. Kind of like when I went to D.C. with $9 in a suitcase. I don't know what to do, Lord. I came here. What do you, you know, tell me what to do. So I'm standing there with all these things. But see, I didn't have to tell them a thing. They knew what to do. All of them to the left. All militarily got over here behind me. All of them to the right. All militarily got behind me. So now they're all these millions are behind me. The front row is like, I knew kind of was like the sergeants. I looked over to the left and all of them looked at me like, shh. I looked over to the right. They all looked at me like, shh. And they were saying it like, "Say the word, woman." So I reached back like I was throwing a softball. I used to play softball. So I reached back and I hollered, "Charge!" And then I woke up. Homeless, you know, destitute, you know. I wrote that dream down. So I see this and I think about it. Because who came to get Elijah? Bam! Those horses and chariots. You know, this dream of having this army come and help us, you know, is really a representation of every one of us. We have been beat down on that ground, dry, rejected, you know, just done. But I am telling you, God is sending that army. We have more that is for us than is against us. And we're going to have to know this. I needed to say this again just to be ready for tonight's interview. Because I'm up against the beast, bride. Do y'all understand how serious this is, what's going to happen tonight? That's why I'm asking you guys. Oh, this is being recorded. Ah! I'll leave it at that. I forgot we're recording now. Anywho, okay, let's go back to the word here. Okay, so now we're at this epic moment of time. Okay, so Elijah took his mantle, verse 8, and wrapped it together and smote the waters. They were divided here and there, so the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what you shall do. He said, just give me a double portion of your spirit, sir. And he said, okay, if you see me go up, you'll get it. Okay, now we're in verse 11. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Now, this is really cool about the fire, because I think about the vision that God gave me. You know, I told you guys the other day on the prayer call about me doing that weekend of the book of Revelation and how I asked God to let me be like John and let me live the book of Revelation the way he saw it. And I really believe God gave me a lot of visuals through that, you know, about what it was that John saw. One of the things is the altar. You know, when you think of hell and you think of the fire like Jesse talks about, okay, you know, you think that when you're around the devil, and I have felt him before, you would think he would be the hot one, but it's not that way. He is ice cold. Have you ever been to a funeral where you knew somebody went to hell? It is ice cold. It is like there is no testament of goodness there. It is evil in the room, okay? I have been there before, and it's very sad. But anyway, the way that I experienced Satan that time was I used to be on the Ouija board when I was 19. And I did it for a year and a half, ended up becoming demon-possessed. That's a whole nother story for another day. But I ended up getting the demons cast out and got delivered and everything. And then I began traveling, casting out demons and all that kind of stuff. It was back when I, you know, was in my young 20s. Well, at the end, when I was on the Ouija board, after the year and a half, and I was demon-possessed for 2 months, the last time that I used that Ouija board, Satan appeared. And he took over the board, and he began talking to us. Okay? Ice cold is not even the word for it. Give you chills. That cold. Now, on the opposite side of that, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, I was at the altar. I'd gotten saved, I'd gotten delivered of those demons, and then I started seeing people speaking in tongues and stuff, so I started asking the elders in the church, what is this? I was raised Baptist. I've always been taught this stuff is evil, you know? And he explained it to me, like a father would, that this is a true gift of God for his people. It's a warfare. It's a way for us to overcome, speaking in tongues. You give your most unruly member, that tongue, over to the Holy Ghost, and he prays through you the most perfect prayers, yada, yada. So, I went up there to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The fire of God hit me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I was burning from head to toe, my tongue stammering, lips speaking in tongues, shaking under the glory. And when I turned around to the church, because the pastor had all the elders pray over me and stuff, when I turned around to the church, I felt the glory of God shine through me across that entire church. I felt the glory. And so that is God, is the fire, is the point I'm trying to say. Around the altar in heaven, around his throne is fire. Isn't that something? But with Satan is eternal separation from God. So you get away from that fire, then it's ice cold. It's a separation. It's cold. Closeness is warmth. The fire. You know, you'll see people often, you know, in the charismatic circles, and they'll say, I pray fire. That's a real thing. And believe me, I want to tell all you people, because, you know, a lot of people that listen to me now, I'm learning how fast the website's growing, is from all over the world. So I really don't know who's listening, okay? But I do want to tell you this. Don't ever make fun of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was just reading in the Bible the other day, that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There are things, yes, that we know is, you can tell we don't bear witness with it. The Kundalini Spirit. But I'm just telling you, be very careful. That is the unforgivable sin. When you make fun of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. I have been in some hoedown intercessory. I'm an intercessor. I have been in some hoedown intercessory prayer meetings where people have rolled in the floor. I have rolled in the floor. Crying, weeping, wailing, screaming, battling. Oh, yes. There are some crazy manifestations when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is why we cannot make fun of people, you know, that you see, you know. Now, there are things that are goofy, like barking and all that stuff. That's not God. We get that. But when you see people having real encounters with God, don't you make fun of them at all. I've seen people get up and dance before the Lord and, you know, do the banners. The banners, all that kind of stuff is just warfare. When you dance before the Lord has showed me this because I'm a dancer. You wouldn't believe it, but I am. I'm praying that all this will be restored to me. Because I just got a treadmill, and I'm going to start getting back on the treadmill. But anyway, I pray that I can get this weight off where I can dance again before the Lord. Because let me tell you something. Worship is a warfare. When you dance before the Lord, it is like a knife in the spirit to that old devil. It is tearing that devil to shreds with every piece of who you are, baby. Because that's how I feel when I worship the Lord. When I am swinging them arms, when I am dancing, jumping around, I am stomping on the devil, I am slicing through the enemy. Yes, I am. That dancing in the spirit is a warfare. That's why David did it. He would get out there and he would dance naked. It is a warfare. Praying in the spirit is a warfare. It's a warfare tactic because you come out of yourself, your mind, you know, your natural reasoning and understanding, and you give it to God and you let him pray the most beautiful prayers, you know. And the Bible says it builds you up. It builds up your most holy faith. Is what it says. Now let's get back to the word. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. Wow. Can you imagine the chariot separating Elijah and Elisha? And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. He got to see Elijah go up in the whirlwind. He got to see it. And he cried. Isn't that beautiful when you think about it? He cried, "My father, my father." Because he considered Elijah his father, his spiritual father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. What that means is he was grieving. In the Jewish culture, when they grieve, they tear their clothes. He was grieving. He just lost the one he loved. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Can you imagine? Oh, Dawn, that's so sweet to say. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. Uh-oh. He just took the faith that Elijah had to cast the rod, the mantle, on the water and expect the water to obey God. Oh, I got to tell you another story. It reminds me, I just got to tell you, because I do have people listening that I don't know, so I must tell you this story. It reminds me of the time when I was homeless and I was serving all these ministries. Remember, the Lord told me in 2013 when I first started in my pit, I call it my pit, and I lost everything after working for the lawyer and making big money and everything, and he threw me in the pit, and he said, I want you to serve all these ministers, and I want you to give them everything. Everything you know, I want you to tell it to them. I want you to help their ministries. He said, you work for me, I'm your boss, you take care of them, they'll take care of you. That's what he told me. And the bride has ever since then. Me and God just talked about it this morning. The bride has truly taken care of me, and it's been, ever how long it's been now, 12 years. So, the Lord told me, you're going to go be with this woman, this ministry, this global ministry. All I ask is you keep your mouth shut, woman. I was like, what a weird request. Well, this woman mocked me all the time. I knew God was training me on how to keep my mouth shut in the middle of persecution. Really? Because I was in a boot camp, you know, all them years I was serving all these ministries as I would be with a different minister, and they would teach me a different area of ministry and how to survive. It was boot camp for what's coming. So I was on the phone with this woman. Now, she had already made fun of this car that God had given me, which was an old Toyota Camry. It had like 250,000 miles on it, and it wasn't the one with the rod knocking and ball of tires. This was the one that was banging and clanging like it was about to fall apart. Because it was my brother gave it to me, and he said, look, I know this car is old, but since you lost your car, you know, this one at least runs for right now, and you can have it till it drops. I said, all right, fine with me. So I got the car, and I ended up loving it. And I was driving through Nashville to go to this state. By the way, guess where this state was? North Carolina. Hey, I just thought about that. And so I was headed to North Carolina, driving through Nashville, and I was on the phone with her, and she heard my car doing this. You know, like it's about to collapse any minute. She goes, I told you that car ain't going to make it up here. And I told that woman, I said, if God wants me there, he'll get me there. So I get off the phone with that woman, and I have this powwow with this car. Oh, if I could just do a visual of what happened in that car. I started beating on that dashboard. I said, you listen here, old car. God has called me to North Carolina, and you are the way to get me there. And you have to obey God just like I have to obey God. In the name of Jesus, be healed. After I finished beating on that dashboard, them check engine lights went off, and that car straightened up just like that. Yes, it did. That car had to obey the will of God, and that was the vehicle that God gave me at that time. That's like that other car that I had, which was 260,000 miles, a car with rod knocking and bald tires, that God told me to travel across the entire country, pray along the entire border, 36 states, 18,000 miles. That car made it. Yes, it did, because it had to obey God. But the point is, the only reason I told you that story is because that car had to obey God just like I had to obey God. It's all I had. You know, so I ended up making it to North Carolina, and when I got to her house, she come out and she goes, because she was one of these beauty queens, you know, just totally opposite from me. She was like, oh, I can't believe you made up here in that car. I'm like, yes, I did. Anyway, that was boot camp. That was training. Okay, so let's see where we is at. Okay, so Elisha saw Elijah, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, took his own clothes, rent them in two pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. So now we're back at this epic moment. His father just left him. He's all alone. Now he's an orphan. And he has the mantle of his father. Kind of reminds me of when my mom died. Because, you know, I told you I was at her bed holding her head when Jesus walked in and took her. She was 75 years old. And I said she had been in a coma for many hours. And I told her, I said, Mama, Jesus is here. He's ready to take you. I was singing that song, Amazing Grace. And then my brother said, Mama, it's okay. You can go. And she took her last breath. But after she died, I went back to her bed. I slept in her bed. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you want her mantle? I said, I want her to have her mantle. I wanted her back. He said, no, I'm asking you, do you want her mantle? I said, yes, sir, I do. And I reached up and grabbed it out of the air. I knew God was serious. My mother's mantle was healing. She had a gift of healing. And she would, you know, pray for people and her hands would burn on fire, boy. When she would, you know, have that and she'd pray for people and they'd get healed. But anyways, so let's go back to the story here. And he took the mantle of Elijah, verse 14, that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted here and there, and Elisha went over. So he's telling God, where are you at, God? I need the God of Elijah right now. Verse 15, and when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So they found their new king, basically. And they confirmed, this is the key of this morning's message. They confirmed the call, the transfer of the mantle of the anointing from Elijah to Elisha. And now he goes forth, Elisha does. He goes forth. I was reading, I think it was in chapter 5 this morning. Was it chapter 5? No, it was chapter 6. Where he, I'm just going to read it to you. So, this is Elisha. This is just a miracle he's done with Elijah's anointing. Here's a good example. So, he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. This is in 2 Kings 6. Verse 4. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. In other words, he was telling Elisha, Elisha, help me. I borrowed this head, this axe head. I need it back, sir. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him where it fell. So he cuts down a stick, cast it right over there where it fell, and the iron swam. You can't make this up. That stick, it wasn't the stick that did it, was it? It was the obedience that the stick had to do from Elisha. Elisha told the stick, go find this axe head. The stick became a magnet and pulled this axe head out of the water. You can't make this stuff up. This is that Elisha and Elijah story. The double portion that he had because he served Elijah. So I pray this really encourages everybody this morning. It was a really good story of faith, a story of trusting God in obedience, and knowing that when God has called us to something, he's going to work the things out around us. Amen. So let's all pray, and then I will shut the recording off. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning about the story of Elijah, Lord. We thank you for the example of the chariots and the fire and how you took him to heaven, Lord. We really don't believe it's the last we're going to see of Elijah. We believe he's going to be one of the two witnesses. He'll come back. He never finished his life. I believe he'll come back. But we just thank you, Lord, for Elijah's story and Elisha, the faithful servant, and how you blessed him with a double portion. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the truth. And we thank you, just like Elijah, Lord, when he went back to that king and he confirmed for the third time and he said, the judgment's been written, sir. God said it and this is it. And so we just thank you, Lord, for speaking to our spirit, man, rising us up in this hour of faith and strength in the spirit to be your ambassadors, Lord. Like Elijah and Elisha was. They were your ambassadors in the earth, Lord. So I pray for everybody that listens to this, that they would have the hunger and the desire to be all that you have called them to be, Lord. And to surrender all that they have to you, knowing that they don't own anything. You own it all. And that you can have it back at any time. And that they are willing to do and be what you have called them to be. And to experience the most craziest miracles in the days to come. Lord, I think about Elisha. When Elisha beheld the glory, he beheld the chariots that took off Elijah. And he cried, saying, Father, Father, I see the chariots. His eyes got to see the glory. And Lord, all of us want to see the glory. We want to be used by you, Lord. We need this bold faith that it's going to take to endure the days that we're in, Lord. So we just thank you so much for speaking to us about this morning. You are worthy to be praised. I pray over every home, Lord, that they have encouragement in their heart and in their spirit and in their home. And I pray that you bless them in every way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.